Good morning. Or, well, you know what? I always say, to see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook, Twitter, or MeWe. Good morning. Today's photo of an amazing display of beauty of God's creation from an undisclosed location over an undisclosed body of water comes to us from a pastor friend of mine who captioned this magnificent shot as being a sermon without words. Last night, in part of the teaching in the Freedom in Christ discipleship class that I taught, I briefly discussed some of the evidence of God and proposed the notion that it took more faith to not believe in God than it took to believe in God. With a photo like this one that points to the first evidence for God, His creation, we can see the beauty and magnificence and design in our created universe and say, enough said. Where did all this come from? Obviously, there is a God. He created it all. A scene like this is supposed to take your breath away and draw you to connect with the mysterious, unseen creator who provides all the wonders of creation and everything we need to live. God's marvelous creation is a sermon without words. The video presentations in my class prevent me from teaching too much, and what I do say has often been presented in other classes and other ministries, as I can draw from my previous teaching to present some quick points regarding the reasons for believing in God, the truth of God's Word, and how to practice and grow our faith. This morning, I realized that in all my presentations for the reasons to believe in God, I have never stated that love was one of the reasons to believe in God. And quite honestly, I can't recall any apologetics guys list love as evidence for God. Scripture states that God is love and that God shows His love for us because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you need 2 points from Scripture that love is a reason to believe in God, there you go. Unfortunately, the reason why apologetic guys probably stay away from love as a reason for God is all the sinful things that are done in love's name. Crimes of passion and people indulging in selfish desires and doing all manners of hurtful and destructive things because they love someone so much can make us cautious to point to love as evidence for God. The reason why love can get a bad name is because God is left out of it. God's perfect design for human relationships of love and the foundations of families is the love of a man and a woman who love one another, but who are both in love with God and who are both pursuing His will for their lives individually, as a couple, and as a family unit when children naturally come from their loving union. Unfortunately, my testimony speaks of the pain and brokenness that can result from being in a relationship where God is not at the center for both parties. So in recovering from my divorce, I made a commitment to myself and God that I would only pursue a relationship with an authentic Christian woman that I could walk with, seeking to love and support one another while we both sought to live according to God's will for our lives. In searching for a mate, you can have preconceived ideas of what is acceptable and what isn't. And some situations that surround people can influence you to decide not to go there with them. You end up saying things like, I really like X, but seeing, you know, but could see, what am I trying to say here? I really like X and could see being with them if not for this or that. It's just too bad. A relationship with them is just impossible. Now, don't get me wrong, it is a very good idea to be discerning and to have standards when you are choosing a life partner, and we shouldn't go into a relationship deciding that we will fix them. I can testify that without God, generally, people will not change. And even with God, it takes the individual working cooperatively with the Lord to overcome habits and defects of character to change. As noble an idea it is to help someone to change, that falls in the realm of a godly desire, but is ultimately beyond our control. The thing we can do is to have a godly goal for our lives, to be the person that God wants us to be. Loving, compassionate, kind, patient, selfless, loyal, faithful, and diligent are qualities that we can develop and grow in our lives with God's help. With God, we can overcome our personal issues and be flexible with the circumstances we face in life. So, if we find someone with those character traits, we have found a diamond in the rough. And even if they have circumstances that surround them that aren't perfect, we shouldn't necessarily rule them out. Until very recently, that's what I did. I was ruling people out arbitrarily because I couldn't conceive of a way that our two lives could come together. I saw union as just impossible because of the details of my and the other person's life. As much as my heart told me this particular person that I was interested in was a faithful Christian woman, I told myself that I just couldn't see how things could fit together and was saddened by how it just wouldn't work. But as time has gone on, and they have proven themselves to be who they appeared to be, and we have drawn closer in our friendship, I finally realized that I had fallen into the trap that I often warn and teach people about. The enemy will tell us that some things are just impossible. He will use our weaknesses and preferences to convince us that there is just no way. But with God, all things are possible. And as my friend, Tammy Lynn, and I have gotten to know each other and grown closer, we realized that our feelings had grown beyond friendship. And somewhere along the line, my fears and anxieties have faded away as we have come to realize that both of us love one another enough to walk through whatever struggles we may face in bringing our lives together. I was reminded of the movie Back to the Future, where Marty McFly must bring his parents back together because of his accidentally messing up the space-time continuum. Marty coaches his dad, George, to make a romantic gesture to win his mother's heart, and the hapless George suavely tells Lorraine, "You are my density." Very smooth, George. But as the story evolves, we know that George and Lorraine simply must come together. Otherwise, Marty is done for. Luckily, a sovereign God apparently is working behind the scenes in the film, and even George McFly's fumbling won't prevent what God has designed to come together. In a critical moment, George's courage is challenged, and despite his fear, his love for Elaine gives him the courage to make a stand and win her love. Much like George McFly, I have fumbled and stumbled my way through life, and even though I was overcome with fear and anxiety over how Tammy Lynn and I could be a couple, the perfect love of God has come in and drawn us together and cast out all fear. We have confessed our love for one another and have committed ourselves to work together to make a life together, come what may. We are just starting, so we don't know where this is going just yet, and people might think we have lost our minds. But I get a line from an old Holly song that seems to describe my certainty of our future together. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. Not sure how or when, but my mind, heart, soul, and spirit tell me this is the truth, and I am rejoicing at the prospects of walking into that reality with my love and my Lord. Perfect love comes from Him and casts out all fear. Love bears witness of His existence, for God is love. So keep walking and talking with God. He gives you the love that saves you and sustains you. His love causes you to hope for more and to carry on. And if you follow where He leads, He just might give you some company on your path from here to eternity. This morning's meditation verse is 1 Thessalonians 4:11 from the New King James Version. It says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Today's verse speaks of some simple wisdom that will make us personally responsible and lead to peace. It's a jungle out there. Even before the fall of man into sin, God made us to be stewards of the earth. That means we are supposed to work. So the Apostle Paul's advice to the Thessalonians to work with your own hands is reminding them of that basic command that God gave us from the beginning. The reason why Paul had to remind the church in Thessalonica of this basic fact of life, to work, was because some false teachers were telling the church that it was the end of days, and people had begun to walk away from their responsibilities because they thought existence itself was going to change at any moment with the return of the Lord. Others, under the guise of pursuing the Lord, were claiming to be on a spiritual quest, which demanded others to support them. those of the heavenly-minded crowd that was no earthly good, and even worse, wanted the church body to support them as a super saint. Paul's life as a life example as a tent maker who supported himself proved that just because we serve God doesn't mean we are entitled to a living, and that the original command to be stewards to support ourselves and our families doesn't go away with changing times or a life of ministry. Paul also advises the Thessalonians to mind your own business. Really? It's in the Bible, so remember that. Mind your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Now, before you get snappy with that, realize that is directed at you. We are to mind our own business and aspire to lead a quiet life. It is solid biblical advice that, if followed, will most likely lead to peace. So work to support yourself and try to live a life, a quiet life, where you mind your own business. This is simple biblical advice to show us that the basic aspects of our lives are addressed by God. So practice what the Word says and find the peace that comes from being in harmony with God's will for our lives. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue to share from June Hunt's Boundaries, How to Set Them and How to Keep Them. And today's section says, it's how to practice the do's of parental boundaries. So if you're a parent and you want to establish boundaries for your kids and it's not too late, it's never too late, go to mtforchrist.org and check out the do's and don'ts of setting boundaries for your children. It just might change things. Go to mtforchrist.org to check out that resource. You'll find it today on today's blog post at the bottom of the blog. Last night, just to give everyone a heads up, as I said, I did teach last night the Freedom in Christ class in Hudson, New York. And what I did is when I got home, I uploaded the outline on the blog, and I uploaded the teaching that I recorded previously of lesson 3's material. That material will be a departure from the Freedom in Christ Ministries teaching that I showed last night, and just the fact that it utilizes my personal testimony in it. So if you want to hear more about me for some reason, you can go to Freedom in Christ lesson 3 from last night and listen to that, and you'll advance in the class too. As always, we also encourage you to check out our other discipleship classes, Victory Over the Darkness and The Bondage Breaker. They're available on the podcast. If you contact me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com, I can send you the class materials and basically at no cost. And you can start a discipleship program for yourself. And if you want, I'll even provide you with feedback if you want to send back your work. And I'll make comments and encourage you along that path of Christian discipleship. As I taught last night, Christian discipleship is just us walking out our faith on a daily basis, living the Christian lifestyle. So you shouldn't get tripped up by the term. And maybe, what I state is if you walk on that path, things will change, and things will, you'll become more in line with God in your life, and you'll discover the peace that comes from walking in the Spirit. Also, I always recommend our Bible study discussions with Arthur and Susanna Cincotti, Bible study with the Cincottis. There's a bunch of messages on the podcast for that as well. All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank God it's Friday. I stated to someone recently that I'm very happy. That means circumstances have come together in my life that shows that, we can have the joy of the Lord on a daily basis no matter what. And when we're walking, things will come together, circumstances will come together where we can be happy too. So you can have joy and happiness apparently in the Christian life. Who knew? I think most of us knew. But now I'm really living it. So that's what I encourage you to do. Walk in your faith and discover what God has for you, because his plan for you is better than anything you can conceive of yourself. Let me just close us in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you've done in our lives to bring us to faith in you, to teach us your ways, and to lead us out of the darkness into your light. Lord, we pray that everyone listening to this is encouraged and that they're anointed by your Holy Spirit to walk their faith out on a daily basis. And Lord, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to be with them, to reveal to them what the way they should go, and to show them the truths they do not know yet so they can grow in their faith. Lord, we just pray for a hedge of protection around everyone listening. We pray for healing for our friends, healing for Pat Kilmer as she's recovering from, she has a health issue, so we're praying for Pat Kilmer's healing. Been praying for, just thought I'd mention her today on the blog for those out there. So thank you for all, thank you for listening, and Lord, we just pray that you bless everyone, that they would have a wonderful Friday and a happy weekend. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.